Support for WPR comes from WIPS with Toward One Wisconsin, a conference on equity, diversity, and inclusion, May 7th and 8th in Eau Claire. Registration information and more is at t1w.org.
Support for WPR comes from the Madison Museum of Contemporary Art, an independent organization dedicated to creating experiences that educate, reflect, and inspire. More is at mmoca.org.
It was April of 1930, and America was about to fall in love.
Nancy Drew, an attractive girl of 18, was driving home along a country road in her new dark blue convertible. She had just delivered some legal papers for her father. "It was sweet of Dad to give me this car for my birthday," she thought, "and it's fun to help him with his work." Her father, Carson Drew, a well-known lawyer in their hometown of River Heights, frequently discussed puzzling aspects of cases with his blonde, blue-eyed daughter. Smiling, Nancy said to herself, "Dad depends on my intuition."
Nancy Drew inspired passionate devotion in the hearts of America's little girls. The amazing thing is, 75 years later, she's still going strong. Poet and critic Melanie Rehak is a typical Nancy Drew fan. She devoured the books as a child, but had to wait until her older sister was ready to pass them on. And these were their mother's books. The same thing was true in Anne Strangechamp's childhood home, except Anne is the older sister. So she jumped at the chance to talk with Melanie Rehak about her first book. It's called Girl Sleuth, Nancy Drew and the Women Who Created Her. Rehak says the book's a gold mine for Nancy Drew fans.
There were two main ghostwriters of the series, and they were Mildred Wirt Benson and Harriet Stratemeyer Adams, who was actually the daughter of Edward Stratemeyer, who dreamed up Nancy Drew and then very tragically died 12 days after the first books were published.
Well, let's talk some about all her different kind of incarnations, because like Betty Crocker, she's evolved over the years. What about some of those early books? What are some of your favorites?
I love The Secret of the Old Clock, which was the first title in the series, although actually the first three were all published at the same time in what was called the Breeder Set, which is a phrase that I love so much. I never miss a chance to use it. You know, it just gives you such a good sense of how much they were trying to hook little girls.
What happens in that one?
And that's a very mysterious, thrilling story where there's an inheritance that needs to be restored to its rightful owner, and there's a missing will which is stashed away in an old clock.
What's Nancy like in that book? This is when Nancy was first
right,
introduced.
This is the first Nancy. She's very tough, and that was a part of her earliest incarnation. And she's very daring, and she's of course intelligent and brave, and she wants to set the world right.
Now, does she, in those early books, from the very beginning, have her sidekicks, her friends Bess and George and her boyfriend?
No. Ned Nickerson.
long-suffering
Ned Nickerson showed up in 1932, and Bess and George, they were not in the first three books. They showed up in book number four. So there's not that same structure that becomes so familiar later in the series. So you really have a chance to just see Nancy acting in the world on her own as a free agent.
So what's the next generation of Nancy Drew books?
The ones that Simon & Schuster launched last year are a very interesting combination, actually. They're very now. Nancy speaks in the first person, which she never has done before. The books have always been narrated by an omniscient narrator. And she drives a hybrid car, and the plots involve, you know, charity bike races and spas and all sorts of things that are very of the moment. But they actually have made an effort to make her more the way she was in the very early books.
What were the middle years of Nancy Drew like? Because even I remember I read some of my mother's Nancy Drews, the books in those dark blue covers.
Mm-hmm.
And then the books my sister and I all collected had those yellow spines
right. And
cheesy pictures on the cover.
Right, right.
So was that the middle generation of second wave of Nancy Drew?
Well, the second wave of Nancy Drew really started kind of in the 40s, which is when Harriet Stratemeyer Adams began to take a much more serious interest in Nancy than she had. And she began to edit the manuscripts after they were handed in to make Nancy, of course, a little bit more like her and a little bit less like Mildred the ghostwriter.
So how did Nancy change?
And Harriet was a very, she had been raised in a very privileged manner. She'd gone to Wellesley. She was very feminine and had a different philosophy about how to be a woman in a man's world than Mildred did. So those were sort of the years when Nancy started to become a little bit less, I suppose we would say now, a little bit less of a feminist, but, you know, just a little bit less bold. And then starting in the late 50s, the books actually were all revised, and Harriet revised all the early ones to make Nancy more that way. And sort of from then on, Nancy was a little bit more prone to blushing and twinkling, and, you know, occasionally she would get, you know, put up in bed with an illness or something like that, which would never have happened previously. So she had this sort of period at that time when I think she was still very much Nancy Drew, but she was a little bit tamped down compared to the early Nancy. And then in the 80s and 90s, she went way off the off the Nancy spectrum, if you listen to The Fans, and she became this sort of average girl who was a little bit boy crazy and wore Jordache jeans and drove a Mustang, and nobody really liked that. So I think Simon and Schuster realized they had to take her back to
get back to the real Nancy.
Yes.
Well, tell me about some of her skills, because she does always seem to have these extraordinary, unexpected skills that appear just when she needs them.
Yes. Well, she's you know, an amazing linguist. She sort of can come up with German if she needs it, or a little bit of Spanish or anything. She learns in The Secret at Shadow Ranch, which is, I believe, book number 4 or 5 in the series, how to use a lasso. There's all kinds of adventures in that
it's
story.
Always a good skill for a girl to have.
Absolutely. And she has to rescue Bess. And in a later book, Nancy actually uses the lasso to keep Bess from sleepwalking off a fire escape, which is sort of a hilarious, you know, reemergence of that trait. In another book, she has to join the circus to sort of go undercover, and she does, of course, very well at that. There's a book from the 60s called The Clue of the Dancing Puppet, where she has to take over a role in a play, and she's, of course, brilliant at that. She often is an amateur historian, art historian, scholar of, you know, any kind that you can think of. She really, it's incredible.
And
of course,
she's a great swimmer, too.
Yes, she's a very good swimmer, actually, which was one of Mildred Benson's loves in life too. She was an excellent swimmer, so I think that's where that came from. And of course, she has a vast store of medical knowledge, which just never ceases to amaze me. She's often sort of, you know, shooing away the emergency workers when someone has passed out, and they just stand back and let Nancy take over.
And she also knows a lot, I remember, about obscure poisons.
Yes, a lot about obscure poisons, a lot of sort of world history. I mean, for a girl who never went to college, she really seems to have a grasp of an amazing variety of topics.
And added to that, she always looks good.
She always looks good, yes. She's, you know, very pretty without being off-putting. She's always dressed very a la mode, you know, in the 30s it was
And she's
tweed
kind
suits.
And nice, and everybody always loves her.
Yes, it's all true. And I mean, and we wonder why we keep reading these books, you know, who doesn't want to be in the presence of somebody like Nancy Drew?
Maybe this is why we all keep reading self-help books. We're still trying to live up to Nancy Drew.
Right, or we should just give up the self-help and read more Nancy Drew.
I know everywhere you go, people come up to you and say, oh, I read Nancy Drew. I loved Nancy Drew. But you've also collected kind of informally stories of women who've been inspired by Nancy Drew over the years. Who are some of the women you've found?
Well, some of the famous women are, I mean, you couldn't get more impressive. Sandra Day O'Connor read Nancy Drew. Ruth Bader Ginsburg read her. Beverly Sills. All these sort of women who've gone on to really have great careers. And then there are some lesser, you know, celebrity-wise stories, but equally inspiring. There are stories of women who read them in bunkers during World War II, you know, when they were fighting the resistance. And one that has come up recently is when Daniel Pearl, who was the Wall Street Journal reporter who was kidnapped in Pakistan and later killed, when his wife and the friend they were staying with in Pakistan were trying to find out what had happened to him. In a very sort of Nancy Drew-like way, they thought the police were not doing a good job, and so they started their own investigation. And the friend actually said that they kept their notes according to the fashion that she had learned from Nancy Drew books. And I sort of couldn't, you know, this story came out when I was doing the research for the book, and I just thought, it's just absolutely astonishing. I mean, here we are, it's the 21st century, we're talking about global terrorism and kidnappings in Pakistan and Al-Qaeda. And there's Nancy Drew right in the middle of it. And she's helping these women, you know, foil this terrible plot. It was just, you know, I felt like I had been hit in the head when I read that.
Is it safe to say then that Nancy Drew has really changed the way American women have lived?
I think she has. I mean, it seems somewhat unlikely that a fictional character who is admittedly, you know, not entirely realistic in the sense that she doesn't have to earn a living or juggle a family or and a career or anything like that could possibly have affected us. But I think, you know, if I've learned anything over the last 3 years, it's that she has. She's just this constant presence. And I think people take the same thing from the books now that they always have, which is that it's possible to live in the world and be intelligent and brave and smart and get what you want. And I think, you know, that's a lesson that never grows old. And so I think there are a lot of women for whom she was the one who first taught them that, and they've never forgotten it.
Melanie Rehak's book is called Girl Sleuth, Nancy Drew and the Women Who Created Her. Our thanks to the Listening Library for the excerpt from The Secret of the Old Clock, the very first Nancy Drew mystery. It was read by actress Laura Linney.